Anybody notice that Mike did not come down to get coffee during that break? You're going to have to be careful. Carefully, he's going to mute me as he's done so often in the past. I want to take a moment. You know, there is a method to the madness about the bulletin that I hand out. The scripture or comments that I place in there, I feel that they are important for you to take with you throughout the week. That the scripture that I place in there really lays the foundation for what the lesson is in the morning. But over on the right, where you see that I have just the scripture listed, 99% of the time, that's the place that you're going to turn to when I ask you to open your Bibles. So if you wanted to get ahead of everything, if you want to just say, well, I'll find the Gospel of Matthew, and that way I know that I'm going to go to chapter 7 and then chapter 25, then I don't have to talk so long while I wait for everybody to get to that part of the Bible. Okay. Last week, we started talking about this idea of sanctifying Christ as Lord in your hearts. And that is, you'll see that's the foundational scripture that I put on the front of the bulletin. It's right out of 1 Peter chapter 3. To sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And we focused last week on conduct. Remember, that was the top of four areas that the Lord really wants to be Lord of our life. Lord of your conduct. This morning we're going to talk about Lord of your talents. And then next week, Lord of your relationships. And then the fourth week, Lord over your treasures. And remember that this definition for Lord, it's not hard to understand that he is the owner, the one who controls, the person, the master. And that as a Christian, we know that you were bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So that he has every, if you're going to proclaim him as your Savior, then you have every right, he has every right to claim you as his own. Boy, let me tell you, focus on that for a moment. Nicole touched on that, and there was a song on the radio that I heard about this morning, that the creator of the universe, the power of the creator of the universe, resides within each and every Christian's heart. I mean, that is a breathtaking thought. So that he is the one that gives us the strength and the courage to become Lord. And as we discussed last week, that if a Christian doesn't act any different than the world around him, then why would anybody be curious to come into a church to find out what Christianity is all about? I mean, what would even make them begin to want to darken the doors of a church? Therefore, this is what Paul tells the church at Philippi. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Very simple, but it's very hard to do. And we cannot do it on our own. So as I said this morning, I want to talk about Lord over your talents. And as I touched on last week, why is this so important to understand what it means to call Jesus Lord? Because when we call him Savior, it doesn't cost us anything. But when we call him Lord, and when we allow him into our hearts, and when we allow him to dictate our conduct, and now when we allow him to use our talents, that it begins to cost us. It may begin to cost us at work. It may begin to cost us at turning down jobs if you're self-employed. It's amazing what people ask you to do all in the name of money. So this idea that it is so important to understand who Jesus is when he says Lord, because in Matthew's gospel, he gives us all a warning. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 7. Because quite honestly, this should be a passage in your Bible that you should underline. And I know you're never supposed to dog-ear a page, but this is one that you should go back to and review occasionally. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. This idea that even though we proclaim to be a Christian, is no assurance that you really know Jesus Christ. And if we look at that scripture a little deeper, we can see that not even using the gifts that Jesus gives us is an assurance to knowing Jesus Christ. Now, Paul expands on this in his first letter to the church at Corinth. And let me give you a little background about this letter, 1 Corinthians. It is very important when you study this book to remember that it is a letter of correction, that the Corinthians had major, major problems within this church, that they were self-seeking, self-serving, and self-exalting. Almost like the people that Jesus is describing in chapter 7 of the gospel that we just read. Didn't we drive out demons? Didn't we prophesy? Because in this book, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, if we wanted to write this out as themes, chapter 12 tells us to stop exalting yourself with your amazing spiritual gifts and start valuing the unique, important place that God has given to every member of the body. That's very important to remember, that there is no one in the body of Christ that doesn't have a purpose or doesn't have a function. Chapter 13 is that with all your amazing spiritual gifts, that if they're not founded on love, they are worthless. In chapter 14, as you turn your attention to loving each other, pursue the spiritual gifts which edify others. Stop putting so much focus on edifying yourself. That they were totally missing the point of the use of spiritual gifts and talents. And we'll see this as we come into chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians again. But it's important also to remember that the Bible did not originally have chapter and verse. That it's extremely important when we read Scripture to read it all in context, because we can make the Bible say anything we want if we can lift a verse out of context. And I'm going to give you an example of why it's so important to understand the true meaning of the Bible. If you have ever purchased anything from Kmart or Sears or Lowe's or anything that requires assembly, once you get past the first step of the directions that say empty the contents of this bag, it's very important for you to read all the directions before you ever start to assemble anything, right? Now, how many of you have said, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about because I've started to put something together, only to find out I got too far down the road and I have to disassemble it to put plan part C and D in. So likewise with Scripture, it's very important to read a verse in context to understand the full magnitude of what the author is trying to tell us. So follow along with me. This is on the front of your bulletin, and this is the second Scripture for our study this morning. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, I'll be honest, that's right there. Many people will stop right there, and they will not read any further. They'll say, look, see, there are a variety of gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to move on. But Paul continues to tell us, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To give to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. The variety of gifts are given to every Christian on the day that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That they are abilities that you received that you never had before. And the vast majority of these gifts are meant for service. There are a few that we could almost say are supernatural, but the vast majority of these gifts are for service. And there are three lists of gifts in Romans and also again in 1 Corinthians. But we should never assume that this is an exhaustive list, because there are many places within a church body that require work. If you were to ask how much, now we're a very small church, but what does it take to put an hour of a service together in the morning? It's an amazing part how many people actually are involved. Likewise, it is in a church that when we think about the gifts given to us, that each gift has a purpose and each gift is given for the common good. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And we can see this Greek word used in the familiar story of Martha and Mary, where it says that Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, much service. That she was distracted because of all the activities that she had going on in her heart. Variety of service, of tasks, or of talents. Because you see, we all do have talents. I know looking around at some of us, that may be hard to recognize or understand, but each and every one of us do have a talent. And that these varieties of talents and spiritual gifts are both gifts from God. And that both grow in effectiveness with use. And that both are intended to be used on behalf of others, not for selfish purposes. Verse 7, each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That this is what Paul is telling the Corinthians. Remember, this is the beginning of chapter 12, and to really understand the entire context of what he's talking about, you need to read 12, 13, and 14 all together. The gifts and talents are given to build up the body of Christ in love. And as we use our gifts and talents, we may personally become edified. I mean, I can tell you honestly that when I put a sermon together, I probably get much more out of it than what you get out of it. I mean, I'm being perfectly honest. I cannot believe some of the things God reveals to me. But the purpose of gifts and the purpose of our talents is to build the church, to build the body of believers. And this is what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see what Paul is saying? That when every part is functioning, that's when a church grows. So he's telling us, number one, each and every one of us has been given a gift from God. Each and every one of us have a talent, God-given talent given to you at birth. But they're both given to you from God. And that as a Christian, we are to use both to lift up others and to build the body of believers. We are all unique. That we all have a purpose. For a church to function, it requires all members to exercise their gifts. And I'll give you, again, another example, and we could probably stand here for 6 hours and come up with many. When I first went into the air conditioning field, I got a job at a hospital. And it was a children's hospital up in Newark, and people used to bring their patients from all around the East Coast because these doctors were specialized in very delicate operations on these newborns. But if you step back and you think about the fact, yes, the doctor performs a surgery, but he could not perform the surgery without the nurses that support him. And he could not perform the surgery if the electrician didn't make sure the lights were working, whether the outside power grid was on or off. We had a generator, and it was that electrician's duty every morning to fire that generator up for 5 minutes. And then he could not perform the surgery if the temperature in the room was too hot or cold. And the point is that this is the way a church functions, that for a church to grow, each and every member need to use their gift for the common good. That Paul tells us in the book of Romans, we have diverse gifts according to the grace that is given to us, that regardless of your talents, regardless, we are called to use them in service, not for selfish ambition. I cannot stress that enough, and we're going to build on that a little bit later on. Our gifts and our talents are not for self-edification, but they are for building up others. That this Greek word, edify, and I put this in your Bible, in your bulletin for reference, the Greek word there, the biblical meaning is the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. That it is our duty to use the gift to lift each other up. That when times are difficult, if we have the strength or the experience of something in life, that we can share that with someone else. If you have a gift of compassion, that you can use that when another church member is hurting. If you have the gift of any trade, that you can help a church member who may be down on the luck and without funds to complete that repair. But the point of this message is the idea is that each and every one of us have gift, at least a gift, if not more, and each and every one of us have talents, and they are meant to be used within the church. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew again, so make a right-hand turn to chapter 25. And there are two parables back-to-back that I want to discuss. And you know, parables are not thrown in the Gospels just in any kind of order. That every word and every paragraph that is in Scripture is placed there deliberately by the Holy Spirit, guiding the writer, the author. So that when we read these parables, it's important also look to the parable that happened just before, or whatever events may have happened, and then also what follows, again, to get the full meaning of the parable. And as we read this parable, many of us are familiar with the parable of the talents. We're going to start in verse 14. But as we read this, the man on the journey is God, and the slaves would be you and I. So it's a little lengthy, but let's go ahead and follow along. For it is like a man going on a journey who summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The one who had received 5 talents went off right away and put his money to work and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went out and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money in it. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled his accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more, saying, "Sir, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master answered, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The one with 2 talents also came and said, "Sir, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master answered, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Sir, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered, "Evil and lazy slave, so you knew that I harvest where I did not sow and gather where I didn't scatter. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For the one who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless slave into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, as I say, this was a very common parable that we're all familiar with. And most of the time you're going to hear someone say that the lessons from this parable would be God is in charge, that God will provide all that we need, that God will hold us accountable, and that our success is a product of our work, and that we are not all created equal. And they are all true. But if we take that view, if we look at this as talent, are we not looking at it and using our gifts to edify ourselves? Are we not looking at this parable and applying it personally and saying, how can I grow? And that doesn't blend at all with what we're trying to discuss about our talents and our spiritual gifts. It's very easy to look at this parable and miss the point. And the reason is that we mistake the word talent, the English word today, 2,000 years later, from what the biblical meaning was back at the time of Jesus. That we say talent, which is what I'm talking about this morning, are your abilities. But at this time, a talent was a measure of weight. And a single talent might weigh as much as 50 pounds. Hardly anything that you're going to carry around in your pocket. So that Matthew wrote this gospel primarily to a Jewish audience, because remember, he was pointing out that this man, Jesus, was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So the Jewish people at this time would have understood exactly what he was talking about in this parable. That the immediate thought was the heaviest weight of all, and it's called the Kabud of Yahweh. And the Kabud of Yahweh was located in the Jerusalem temple, resting upon the mercy seat within the Holy of Holies. So that the heaviest of all, the most glorious of all, the greatest weight was the mercy of God. That the talents were given to these three servants not so much as a monetary gift or personal capacity, but they were given to share the mercy of God. That mercy is always directed to another. That our gifts and our talents are designed to be shared. They are not meant to lock them up in our heart. They're not meant to bury them in the ground. That our talents and our gifts grow when we use them to serve another. That when we look at this parable, it can be applied with what the way I'm saying about our work and what we do with it. I've also heard it applied that it is the gospel, that is the gift that has been given to each and every one of us. That Christianity is not a spectator sport, that we are called to use our gifts and our talents to further the kingdom. That divine mercy, the most precious gift that each one of us has received from our Lord and Savior, is meant to give to another as a pure gift. That the idea of understanding and knowing Jesus Christ comes down to understanding his motives and his purpose in life. Why did he come to the world? Why did he step out of eternity and come into time and walk this earth for 33 years? It was because of the mercy of God the Father, who wrote a plan to bring us home. That divine mercy, what you have received and what I have received at Calvary, is not meant to lock up in our hearts, but we are to express it to those around us. And this is why this second parable follows immediately after these talents. So again, follow along verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate people one from another like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothed? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, I tell you the truth, just as you did it for the one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not receive me as a guest. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison and you did not visit me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not give you whatever you needed? And then he will answer them, I tell you the truth, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will depart into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So that we see that the gifts that we are given from God, the talents that we have, are meant to be given out of a heart of mercy, which leads us to compassion, which leads us to understanding. That it is the use of our gifts which brings us closer to Jesus Christ. It isn't what your gift is. It isn't what your talent is. But it's how you use your gift. It is how you use your talents for others and for the church. And as I've said so many times before, it's amazing how things work and fall into place. As examples so often of whatever the message is in Sunday school class or here from the pulpit. And over the course of this past week, there were three examples that just fit perfect with this message. And the first one, you heard Joanne talk about our brother Wayne, who used to come to church here, who had a major, major problem. And if you follow that postings on Facebook, you will see a miracle taking place in front of your eyes. But what took place this past week, Sally went to visit. And she mentioned that she was greatly moved by what took place. And if you know Sally, if you asked her, she would tell you that one of her spiritual gifts, among others, is mercy. That she has a heart to express mercy on anyone and everyone. And she told me that when she visited the hospital and she was expressing this heart of mercy towards Linda and towards Wayne, that she could feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving through her, giving her words to say, to comfort. That not only did it bring a blessing to this family that's struggling so much, but that Sally was able to come so much closer to the Holy Spirit. And then yesterday, Debbie and CJ ran, I don't even know, it wouldn't be a yard sale because it was inside, but nevertheless, it was a rummage sale. And CJ worked so hard during the week, and she came by and worked late Friday night, and Debbie along with her. And Debbie was doing it not only for Cornerstone, but also for the ministry that she serves in for Rosebud. And I get a message from CJ yesterday morning. She couldn't believe how beautiful the weather was. That it's obvious that God is moving to help us because of all the rain that we've had before and all the rain that was supposed to come yesterday, God held it off so that we had no problem with people coming in. That CJ, with her administrative talents, that if you know CJ, she is a supervisor within a fairly large company. So she has administrative talents. That if you talk to Debbie, she will tell you she has no administrative talents, but Debbie is extremely organized. That when you walk into that office and you can ask Bob, that office is sparkling clean. If you leave a paper out of place, Debbie is wanting to know, why is this paper on my desk? No, I'm kidding. But the point is that through all three of them, through this week, have actually experienced the moving and the power of God when they use their talents and use their spiritual gift for others. That this is what's open for all of us. That Paul tells the church at Colossians that whatever you are doing, work at it with enthusiasm as to the Lord, not for people. That is critical. When we express our gifts, we use them not so much for the person, although we want to lift them up, but do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. If you had to cook a meal for Jesus Christ, I don't think you would want to take him down to McDonald's or Wendy's, and nothing against fast food, but you would take lots of time preparing that meal if you had one opportunity. Whatever we do, do it unto the Lord. Do it with perfection. And in doing so, when we use our talents that way, then others will look behind us, and they will want to know why. Why did you take that extra effort to do what you do? If anybody follows Phyllis around on a work day, I'm always love to sneak up behind her because I've never met anyone. It doesn't matter what she's doing, washing windows, sweeping floors, washing pots. She's whistling and singing, usually some kind of a Christian song. The point is that you are called to use your gifts and your talents for the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the very grace of God. You see, we are ambassadors, not only to the world outside of us, but to each other. The whole point of a sanctuary, the whole point of a body of believers, is to build each other up, to lift each other up, and to grow together. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, that he should be our focus. Whatever your abilities are, they are given to you by God for his glory, not ours. And when you use those gifts to encourage and to edify others, in doing so, you can almost hear Jesus say, whatever you have done for the least of my brothers and my sisters, you have done it for me. And when you experience that, it brings you a little bit closer to understanding who Jesus Christ is. So that on that day when you see him face to face and you call him Lord, Lord, you will be the sheep where he says, come in and inherit the kingdom reserved for you. We are all special and we all have a gift. But it takes every member functioning together for that body to function and to grow. Use those gifts for the glory of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, your plan of salvation, your plan of discipleship, of bringing others to the saving knowledge of your Son is so perfect. And Father, we know that you rely upon us to function as ambassadors, to open the eyes of others, to maybe let them hear or to see. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen my brothers and sisters this day. Help us to discover our gifts, our talents. And Father, give us the opportunity to use them to serve one another and to build this church and to build your church. Father, your word is true. Your promises are true. Father, I ask you to richly bless my brothers and sisters this week. Walk with them, guide them, protect them. Walk with those who are on vacation, soon to travel. Father, we are so blessed that you have called each and every one of us by name. Strengthen us, Father, to bring glory and honor to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.